This morning we'll continue through Ephesians 5, just kind of taking a couple of verses, or a verse even at a time. As I kind of mentioned, since we're dealing with living wisely or living in wisdom in Ephesians, we'll be trying to also incorporate some of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament that lines up very well with what we find in Ephesians and that life that we ought to live. And so this morning we'll first turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And we read the following word of God. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So far, the reading of God's word for us this morning. Let's now also sing of the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. Let's do that by singing Psalm 111, singing stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Our text this morning comes from the letter to the Ephesians. We'll be focusing on Ephesians 5, verse 17, but for the sake of context, we'll read verses, I'll read with you verses 15 through 21. So a couple weeks ago, we looked at how the theme here is about wisdom and walking wisely. Is that new life in Christ as you shine upon us. And the first point, it being about time and making the most of every opportunity. But of course, then the follow-up question is, okay, so yes, time is precious. Make the most of it. Well, what does that look like? And how would you know how to fill your time and what to use it for? Well, that comes being addressed right away in verse 17. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. This is our text. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so that'll be our text this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, every week we make so many different decisions. Some of them may just be minor, others may be even major decisions that have taken us time, a lot of prayer, maybe even anxiety. And I'm sure that at least at some point this week you have wondered, what am I supposed to do? Maybe even more particularly, you wonder, like, what is the best thing to do? Like, I have all of these options, but what is the best thing that I can do? Because maybe it was a difficult decision. Maybe even a minor, but it may have been a difficult decision. Maybe it was difficult because there were so many good options. Or maybe it was a difficult decision because there were so few that were actually good. You have to decide what hit you're going to take. Maybe it's the uncertainty of it all. You just don't know what actually your decision is going to, where it's going to end or lead you, what the consequences will be. That could be anything. Like, do you switch jobs? Do you maybe think about a different career? Maybe it is. Like, how do you raise your kids? How do you deal with them? Talk to them? Encourage them? Maybe it is exactly that context that Ephesians 5 is dealing with. Like, how do you use your time? If you have a bit more time now, you're like, well, how am I going to use it? What am I going to do today? What am I going to do after work? Maybe it's because you wanted to give advice. Someone has asked you for advice, and you're wondering, what do I say? Can I say something? Do I remain silent? And the list goes on and on. Decisions. And what we're really talking about here this morning is that constant need for wisdom. What is wise? What is wisdom in this situation? And before we actually make a decision as to what we're going to do, we make already one major decision. The most important in these situations. And that is that we decide where we're going to seek this wisdom from. Who is going to give us the wisdom that we need? for the decisions and the choices we have to make? Who do we turn to in order to make our decisions and live wisely? The answer that is found in the letter to the Ephesians is that in order to live wisely, as it said, to be careful in how we walk as those who are wise, what we have to do is to pay attention to the know and understand the will of the Lord. What is the Lord's will for my life? But of course, that makes us wonder, well, how do we know it? How do we come to understand it? How do we discern it? And why is it so important to start with Him? This is all part of what it really means to live that new life in Jesus Christ. New source of wisdom, a new sense of understanding, a renewal of the mind, and so then also be able to live wisely. And we'll look at these questions then this morning under that theme, living wisely, understand God's will, know God's will. Now, as we read through Ephesians 5, we notice that we're dealing with the second do not, but instead do this in Ephesians 5. And last time we noticed the need to watch our step and to use our time and to use it wisely, making the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. And as I mentioned, naturally then the follow-up is, well, what does that look like? What are the things we ought to do? And the answer is found in the following verse, therefore do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord. And it hooks right into, right? The therefore points out that logical progression. If you're wondering, how can I make the best use of my time? You have to then wonder, am I going to use it foolishly or am I going to know and understand the will of the Lord? But here's also something interesting. As soon as it goes on to explain then, that logical progression, it says, you know, don't be foolish, but then it doesn't contrast it with being wise, but actually uses that phrase of that you would know and understand the will of the Lord. It's not contrasting foolishness with wisdom, but giving us that understanding of what wisdom really is about. Understanding the will of God, understanding the will of the Lord. And this is an important lesson, an important starting point as well. One that we, if we're honest, we realize that we don't learn this very easily. Because this morning you may be sitting here and you think like, yeah, I know, at least I know the Lord's will for my life. I know the Ten Commandments. We've read them again this morning. We've read Jesus' own two great commandments. May know the golden rule. Know the New Testament and Paul's letters and all of the exhortations he gives about that new life in Christ. And we need to study these instructions and we need to go back to them again and again and keep them as that bedrock of how we live. But you've probably also noticed in your own life that, yes, it's all good to know all of this. But then you wonder, how does it apply to the situation I'm facing? How does this apply to the decision I have to make? This is where the role of wisdom comes in. It's really also the concept of wisdom, is knowing how to apply all that we learn there, all that God has given us. Biblical wisdom, as it is taught, for example, in that book of Proverbs. Think about that, right? God gives us 10 laws, gives us all of the books of Moses full of laws, and then he says, I also have to give you wisdom. Wisdom books showing you these principles applied in all of the many different ways. And in what we read in Proverbs, one thing is incredibly clear. Is that God taught his people that wisdom needs to be pursued, looked for, sought after. As we read through Proverbs 2, you noticed that, didn't you? As it was going through, it talks about the effort and the dedication and the thinking that it takes in order to find wisdom. And we may at times want just these neat answers that are ready-made and neatly and concisely tell us what to do and what the best decision is. But that's not the kind of wisdom that God promises there in Proverbs. As much as he gives concise, ready-made Proverbs, he also says it's going to take a struggle, it's going to take a pursuit in order to gain this kind of insight and to have this kind of understanding. God promises that that pursuit will be fruitful. But it's going to take effort. Now, what does this effort look like? What does this wisdom call for? Well, let's just consider some of the basics this morning, considering, of course, what Proverbs 2 itself also mentions, but also then how that applies to Ephesians. And the first thing is that our starting point has to be that wisdom is found with God. Right? Whether you study the book of Proverbs, where it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Just remember that fear of the Lord is not so much that you have, you know, fear and you're afraid, as it's having that utmost respect, being in awe for such a wonderful majesty that you fear. Yes, you feel that fear that you would disappoint him who has been so good to you. Whether you look at Proverbs or whether you look at Ephesians, realizing that it is the will of the Lord that we are meant to put into practice in our lives. So that, as Ephesians says, we don't live foolishly. God, in both cases and throughout Scripture, is always the starting point. And you're like, yes, we know this, but it is an important point because we need to start here. It is always tempting to reject this starting point in favor of our own wisdom. You think about it. How do you think about how am I going to fill my time? How do you answer that question? Well, think maybe what do you want to do? Or what do you think is the best use of your time? There's always a temptation to just say, like, hey, let's make it up ourselves as we go. Yes, even though we may be here this morning, and we may say, yes, we begin with God when it comes to dealing with our sin. Because we realize, you know, Lord, we need your grace, and we readily and happily receive that from him. But how tempting is it to say, okay, Lord, I've gotten your grace, but now, when it comes to how I have to live my life, when it comes to what wisdom actually looks like, I'll maybe start somewhere else and look somewhere else. And when it comes to living our lives, how do we spend our time and how do we walk? But it is always tempting to decide on our own and to start with ourselves or to start with what other people have advised us or expect of us, because we lack a fear of the Lord. And instead of fearing that we would disappoint him who's been so good to us, you know, we fear that we disappoint the people around us, or we fear that we disappoint what we ourselves have put upon ourselves to do. And we hesitate to put God's will before our own will. We all know how this happens. Too often when we think, like, what is wisdom? It'll end up just conflating what the things that we actually want to do ourselves, and not necessarily with what God will is. So this is the starting point. If we don't start here, the rest isn't going to make sense, and the rest isn't going to flow from that fear of the Lord. But of course, the follow-up question is, okay, so we make God our starting point, then what? How does he show us the way? Well, we know that God instructs us through his word. That's what we've been pointing towards. That's why, you know, Proverbs talks also about God's commandments that are our guide. He has revealed himself. You know, think of why he has included such a book as Proverbs in his word. He wants us to realize that his word is that life and that wisdom that we need. But of course, he has given us more than the book of Proverbs or Ephesians. I mean, all of it. As 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to know what is right and to do what is good? Well, you have to be equipped, as it says, by God's word. And all of God's word is God-breathed and exactly purposed and useful for this. There's value to it so that we may know how to live before the Lord. Doesn't mean that every situation that you're going to face is covered exactly in Scripture, but it does mean that we can rely on God's Word. Teach us the wisdom, as we've been talking about, to teach us the principles that have to always be at play and in our mind, or the character, the kind of people we ought to be, or the motivation with which we do things, in which we live, or the lens through which we look at a situation, and we look at our lives, and we look at the people around us, so that we may live and be trained in righteousness. And hand in hand with that, we also know that God's Word, as it comes to us, is also that powerful tool of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that is that spirit of wisdom, as Ephesians has already said. And so consider then how the Spirit also leads you into wisdom. And we'll be talking about this a little bit more in the coming weeks. That's why I read the context saying, you know, before, it's talking about time after this, it's going to go talk about the Holy Spirit, which makes sense. He is the Spirit of wisdom, and it is to be filled with Him. That is really what is also we need as to live our new life and to know wisdom. But consider, though, what this also means. It may be very easy to say, you know, if we want wisdom, go look for it in Scripture. But we also have to confess that we even need God's Spirit for us to understand God's Word and His revelation. So besides God's Word, also maybe then consider what is the role of prayer in your pursuit of wisdom? What does Proverbs talk about? Crying out. Crying out for it within your search. There'll be more on this afternoon as we start to study prayer and the Lord's Prayer, but just consider if in your own life, making difficult decisions is always accompanied with prayer. Can you make a decision without praying? Would you dare to do that? Especially those where you pause and you wonder, does that turn you automatically to prayer? Does it automatically turn you to confess, you know, Lord, I need your guidance. I need to rely on you. I need your Spirit. Especially in our lives as Christians, this has to be so important. Because, you know, you think about like Old Testament Israelites, they had so many more laws, so much more of their life was regulated by Scripture and those laws that God has given us. Many of them have been fulfilled in Christ and their principles may apply, but we have so much more freedom. But Scripture then also teaches us that there's this freedom in the Spirit, that we may walk and keep in step with the Spirit. But if we live blindly to the Spirit's work in our lives and our need for Him, and we are not walking in step with the Spirit, and we are not living that new life in Christ. And this should impress upon us that need then to look at the following verses in the coming weeks. So we talked about God's Word, we talk about His need for His Spirit. What else does God provide us with guidance? And another important role is also counsel, advisors, brothers and sisters. God places Christian brothers and sisters over you and beside you to provide you with guidance. We are never alone in seeking to live wisely. In fact, we have to already, as our starting point, acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. And for that reason, God puts us together in a church, a gathering of Spirit-filled people. We're able to help, share wisdom, insight, and also pray with us and for us. So that living wisely is always done also in the communion of saints, the fellowship of believers. So we're not as smart or as wise as we like to think. And one of the main guards against our own foolishness is the help and accountability of others. And it's important to understand this rightly. Now it says, don't be foolish. And often we think like, oh, if I'm, you know, not having the answers or having to ask a question, maybe that's what makes me seem foolish. Not in Scripture. No, in Scripture, it's the fool who thinks he can do it on his own. It's the fool who would not seek out godly advice and not rely on those people that God has put around you. Now, what else is there to say about understanding God's will? One more thing at least to mention is to consider at times also the situation that God has put you in. Well, we may say God's providence. We know He controls all things. He guides all things so that where you are at in your life is not a mistake or an accident. He has placed you there. And sometimes that place may have wonderful opportunities. Other times it may have limitations. And maybe those God has put upon you to also show you His will. But it's also a struggle, though. As soon as I kind of mention this, I do realize that it becomes difficult. Because it can be very hard to know exactly what your circumstances are requiring you to do. All right, for example, in the face of hardship, does God require you to give up, go a different direction, or does He actually call you to persevere? I often think about this one when it comes to examples of mission work or church planting, for example. Some churches are very organized, and they'll say, you know, if you want to church plant or you want to do mission work, you maybe commit 5 years, 10 years, and if you don't reach certain measurements by that time, you kind of have to give up, because it's clear that God is not opening up doors there. That is not the field He's calling you to be in. And we kind of like thinking of, you know, Paul on his missionary journeys, that sometimes the Spirit also pointed him out, like, don't go to that area, go instead to Europe. Don't go to northern Turkey. And yet at other times, you have these stories, for example, of a missionary to Burma, Adoniram Judson, who worked for 12 years and had 18 converts. So just a little bit more than one convert a year. You think maybe he would pack up, say, okay, I'll go to somewhere else. And yet by the end of his life, 25 years later, there were 100 churches and about 8,000 believers in the country. It's not just providence and our circumstances in life that may cause us to halt and wonder, okay, so what does this really mean? Sometimes we even have it with Scripture. We say, like, on one hand, there's this principle. On the other hand, there's this principle. What am I supposed to do? You may even go for advice and say, this person is saying this, this person is saying that. What do I do? This is why I think it's very comforting that when Ephesians says that we ought to know the will of the Lord. And since the Lord in most of Ephesians always refers to Jesus Christ, I take it as that. The will of Jesus Christ. You see what that phrase does? It's not just talking about wisdom. Wisdom is impersonal. And you can't have a relationship with wisdom. That's so much the case also when it comes to guidance and advice. Right? Sure, you can gather it from people who have no interest or even no interest in your life, or you could get it from an online search, or you could get it from a chat bot these days. But what we are after is not just getting advice for advice's sake, not wisdom for wisdom's sake, but what we want is that relationship with our Savior, to know what is His will, that we may align with it. And And that's how it also then gets us back to that idea, that starting point, that it is not just that we all have to start with at the heart of living wisely with a fear of the Lord. That there is no wisdom without that relationship. And you probably even know this from your own life. Someone has asked you about an advice. You didn't really know them at all, or you have only a tentative relationship. You're like, that's a hard question to answer. I don't know you, and you don't know me, and you don't know. There's so many different layers maybe to that question. They may even press you, saying, just tell me what you think. Tell me what I should do. You're like, I can't just give you advice if I don't know who you are or where you're at. Or how you respond to these situations. I know myself. I know my own experiences. I know what I would do, the risks that I'm willing to take, the things that I'm willing to give to the Lord. But without trust, without a relationship and understanding, can you really gain wisdom? No. And so it is also with our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's also because of that we struggle with the same thing when it comes to doing the will of the Lord. If you try to live wisely outside of a living relationship with Jesus Christ, how far will you go? How far are you going to get before you doubt His will? You may even be here this morning and thinking like, no, I think the Lord wants me to do this, but I don't really want to do it because you doubt Him. Think about how you doubt other people's advice because, stars, maybe you doubt because no one really knows you or your situation. But as soon as Ephesians starts to talk about the will of the Lord, the will of Jesus Christ, it says, this is the one who knows you most deeply. Yes, who even humbled himself to live a life as we do, a human nature, to live like anyone like us who knows pain, who knows shame, who knows suffering, who knows temptation, who knows betrayal, who knows what it is to walk in faith on the promises of God, not knowing exactly where this is going to go. Or you may be tempted to brush off someone's advice or his wisdom because you say, no one else has really my own interest in mind except me. But what about the Lord who has loved you so deeply? Who knows, yes, you sin and you sin again and you fail again and again. And yet who says, I have laid down my life for you. Because I love you. How then can His will for you today not be in your own best interest? From one who loves you so deeply. Who even promises to turn even your mistakes into good. And to keep on leading you down paths of righteousness. Or maybe, lastly, you brush off advice because you think, who has the authority? Who can I trust? Who really has a claim on my life? So much advice, we can say we can take it or leave it. But can you really do that? The one who's king over all. And it's when you start to see the Lord as He is, then wisdom starts to take shape. And that it's not, that it is in the form of Jesus Christ, who is our example, who is our Savior, who is wisdom Himself for us. And that He is also more than just a source of wisdom. That living relationship is also that He is the one who guides you, who will watch over your paths. He is that good shepherd who will lead you down paths of righteousness, as Psalm 23 says. That you realize that wisdom is only just a part of what He gives me each day. And it's because He supplies us already with so much. But then you could say, I will trust your will. And I will receive it as the wisdom of God. That I too may live wisely. And this is what is amazing about it. As we get to know Him in a living relationship, well, then we also start to gain true wisdom. Not just about how, you know, what do we decide or what do we do, but even about ourselves. Because isn't that such an important part of wisdom, is that you get to know yourself. That self-knowledge. John Calvin famously starts his Institutes with the line, "Nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves." And he goes on to then explain how they relate. But just this morning, consider how profoundly these words are. How often when we want to make the right decision, do we actually fight ourselves? Because what we're really influenced is not by the fear of the Lord, seeking to do His will, but the image that we want to maintain, because this is who we think we are. Or that we make a decision and we do so rashly because it's out of spite or out of revenge or because of hurt of the past. Or maybe it's because we don't want to be so-and-so or like this person. Maybe we make a decision because we're projecting what people will think if we do this. And maybe we make a decision because we're just trying to get escape from ourselves in whatever way we can. You see, living wisely is about seeking the will of the Lord. And as you start to have that relationship with Him, start to see more and more about yourself. And more how you need Him. And you need His wisdom. And you need His guidance. And you need Him to be so much more as to be that shepherd that will guide you. And you see that godly wisdom is not just about doing the right thing. It's about the people that we are and that we are becoming. Wise not in our own eyes, but equipped by the Spirit of God to do the will of the Lord. And then it's more and more reason that we have then to truly fear Him and be in awe of Him and all that He has done for us. All the more reason to align our will with His will, to live in wisdom. To really understand that, yes, that wisdom is found in living in relationship with Him. That's not easy. That it takes effort and that pursuit and that searching after, but it's the prize, as Proverbs 2 says so wonderfully, but they probably didn't know the half of it by the prophet, that then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your hearts, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And isn't that the promise? The Spirit would dwell in us and fill us. The blessing of life in our Lord Jesus Christ that we receive by faith. Amen. Let's now sing Psalm 23. We'll do so standing. Sing stanzas 1 and 2.